Amen. So who is Jesus to you? We've come up with all these names with the kids. Who is Jesus to you? And that can be a very personal question. The way that you answer that question may be different than anybody else in this room, because you have a relationship with Jesus based off of your life and your experiences that nobody else on this planet has. Many people know who Jesus is to the world. That's where theology kind of gets easier. Jesus is the Savior of the world. He's the Messiah, God in the flesh, the Son of God. It takes a higher level of faith to realize that that answer is also a personal one. That Jesus is your Savior, your Messiah, God in the flesh for you. That Jesus came, yes, for the world, but Jesus also came for you. That is a higher level of faith to get to that place where we can realize and understand that. And it can take some time for that to sink in, that personal Jesus. Even John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, took some time to come to that realization. And he was actually in ministry before he came to that realization. You may have heard a little bit about John Wesley's life. He had a life-changing experience on Aldersgate Street in England. He would later write that that day, at that revival, during the message, he felt his heart strangely warmed and suddenly came to the realization that all of those things that the world knows about Jesus and all of those things that we know Jesus came to do for the world also came to be done for him individually and personally. All of those things that we know about Jesus and his saving power and his grace, his love, his death on the cross, all of those things were not only for the world, but that they were for John Wesley and each and every one of us as well. It was at that moment that he realized Jesus was all those things for him. This heartwarming moment in John Wesley's life occurred in 1738. At that point, he was already 35 years old and had been in ministry for over 10 years, serving churches and preaching and serving the communion elements and baptizing children, theological studies. For more than 10 years, he was doing all that work before he realized that those ways in which we talk about Jesus coming for the world also meant for him personally. So don't feel guilty if it takes you a little bit of time to get there too. This man developed a way of being a Christian that began to transform communities in England. And then those transformed communities began to move to the new world here in America. And that those communities here in America, as this became its own nation, inspired by that one man, became a denomination. And here we are in 2020, almost a few hundred years after John Wesley, still worshiping in the way that he put together. He was no more human, no more less human, and no more godly than any of us. He did all those things, but started out as a man who took 10 years to realize that Jesus was his personal Savior as well as the world's Savior. So who is Jesus to you? Maybe one of the answers has already been given. We've come up with quite a few names already for Jesus. But there's a story of a little boy in my home church. I don't know if he went to my home church, if it was just a story that went through the church. You know those stories that those nameless people that you don't really know if they are from your church or another church, or if the story is even true, or if it was just a teaching moment. But there's a story of a little boy from my home church in Bound Brook who was asked that same question, who is Jesus to you? And he gave quite a different answer. The little boy was only 5 or 6 years old, and he had recently had a very traumatic experience. His house had caught on fire, and they lost everything, including his parents. He was the only survivor. Both of his parents died in that fire, and he went to live with his grandparents. And his grandparents are the ones who started taking him to church and Sunday school. The firefighters found him in that burning building, calmly sitting in a corner. They rescued him from that burning house. And one day in Sunday school, the kids were learning about Jesus, and the Sunday school teacher showed them a picture of Jesus. The Sunday school teacher asked, "Who is this person?" And the young boy immediately recognized him and said, "That is the nice man who held me the night my parents died in that fire." At only 5 years old, that little boy had already known Jesus as his personal savior, his personal friend, somebody who came just for him. For Lent this year, we've got a couple different opportunities for you to get involved in Bible study. On Tuesdays at 10 a.m., Bev Adams is leading a Bible study downstairs in the Githens room using a book by Reverend Max Lucado called Jesus, the God Who Knows Your Name. Because names are important. Jesus knows your name and wants you to know his name too. Because when you're on a first name basis with somebody, you're pretty close to them. Not as, you know, Mr. Christ or anything like that, but Jesus. Not on a title and last name basis, but on a way that is personal and relatable and special between just the two of you. When you come up in a little while for communion, as you receive the bread, your name will be spoken. It isn't really the pastor saying your name. It is a subtle but important part of how we do communion that shows us that it is Jesus through the pastor calling out your name because Jesus knows your name. This is Jesus' meal. This is Jesus' table. Jesus is inviting you by name to come to this holy meal. Jesus wants you to eat with him. Jesus wants you to be with him. Spend time with him. Jesus wants you to get to know him on that more personal level. God knew that for us to get to know God on a personal level, God had to come and be one of us, to live an earthly life like we do, to struggle like we do, to be born into a humble, kind of poor family like some of us have come from. Somebody who has to work, to do real work, just like we do. Somebody living in a world of Roman rule and oppression. Somebody who is witnessing abuses of power, even by religious leaders. Somebody who came on the lower rungs of the hierarchy. God knew that that's the way that God had to come. To really relate to us and to really have a personal relationship with us. God put all of God's power and authority aside and even gave it to us so that we would have a little bit of that. That is why we call Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. And if you were around during Christmas time, as we talked about with the kids, you may remember that our Advent study told the story of Jesus starting at the end of his life and working our way backwards towards his birth. Similarly, Reverend Lucado, in his Lenten study, first goes back to Jesus' birth because to fully understand who this guy is that ended up on that cross, you've got to go to the beginning of the story. Even before his birth, you've got to go back to the Old Testament, to the prophecies. We have to understand why and how he came and who he was when he came. And for that, we turn to the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Jesus' names, many of them come from the Hebrew prophecies. In Isaiah, it says, "A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall name him Emmanuel." That means God with us. The Gospel of Matthew confirms that upon his birth, one of the names that he will be known by is Emmanuel. God with us was not only for that one generation. It is a name that lives on and is relevant in every generation and to every person. It was not only for that one time and place. The name Emmanuel, God with us, is eternally true. It never becomes God was with us. It never becomes God will be with us. It is God is with us today, right now. God is with us through Jesus Christ just as much today as the day that he was born. In a different way, but he's here. Later on in the Gospel of Matthew, in his final words to the disciples, Jesus confirmed this to be eternally true. Jesus' last words to his disciples, right before his ascension, after his death, but before his ascension, after those 40 days, Jesus gives a final challenge to his disciples before he goes up into heaven. And in his final words, Jesus says, "Remember, I am with you until the end of the age." That is an eternal promise that God is always personally present in the moment. Jesus didn't say, "Remember when I was with you." Jesus didn't say, "Remember that I'll be with you later on." Jesus' eternal promise is, "Remember, I am with you until the end of the age." And again, even more interesting is the fact that the name revealed for God in the Old Testament is I am. So in this one little sentence, in this final message from Jesus, Jesus both identifies himself as God, I am, and as eternally present through all generations until the end of the age. Jesus came as Emmanuel to be with us, literally. Jesus knows what human life is like because he lived a human life. Jesus knows what it is like to suffer and to feel pain and to even die as a human because he did all those things. So then the question is why? Why did Jesus go on this journey? Why did Jesus endure all of these things that we remember during Lent? Why did Jesus do all this? The answer is simple and just one word: you. Jesus did all this for you. Amen. Friends, as we prepare for our offering, Olivia is going to come up.